Hi, it's Sarah Ann here from Smash Maths. Do you find your child often forgets their maths learning? You're not alone. We at Smash Maths can help you using our spaced repetition approach to make learning stick. Spaced repetition allows your child to visit every topic of the maths curriculum every week. It's an extremely powerful and easy way for your child to cover the whole maths curriculum, boost their confidence and get great results. Our award-winning online maths program is suitable for children in kindergarten up to grade 6. Join us at smashmaths.org.
Welcome to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. Here you will find a variety of podcasts from authors, bloggers, and speakers ready to encourage you on your daily journey. I can't wait to get started, and now let's listen to today's show. This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. What is creation? Did God create the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh? Does anyone really care? These questions and many more, including teaching tips and great resources, are presented in the Creation Science Podcast. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and it's my pleasure and honor to be your host. Some of these shows are from my Best of Creation expos and other presentations I've completed throughout the years of teaching on this topic. I'm the owner of Media Angels, Inc., a publishing company that produces books, audios, and videos to help you and your family in your Christian walk. Check out my books and other podcasts at mediaangels.com. To get the show notes for this broadcast, go to creationsciencepodcast.com. And now, let's learn together.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am the host of the Ultimate Homeschool Expo in this set that we're recording now, which is the Creation Expo. I want you to join with me in prayer as I ask the Lord for help in presenting this very difficult session. Dear Lord Jesus, I just praise you and I thank you, and I ask you, Lord, to help me with the words that you want me to share with those listening today. Dear Lord, I ask that you get hearts and minds open to what you want them to hear and use me, Lord, in any way that you will. And I just pray, Lord, that those listening will be blessed by this session. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to know that it is a short presentation that I'm going to be giving today, but one that I hope will show you the impact that happens when those who do not believe in creation, but actually have an agenda that is anti-Christian, will go to great lengths to share their message with others. So I'm going to be sharing with you that Creation Matters is the name of this presentation, and this is actually a true story. As I shared a little bit ago, my name is Felice Gerwitz. I am a Christian wife and mother, and I am an author, a publisher at Media Angels, and a host of many podcasts. In fact, this is one that I do during the year, but I have quite a few more that we host every year. If you want more information about all of our sessions, you can go to ultimatehomeschoolexpo.com or mediaangels.com, and that link will take you to where I have other websites and materials. I'm married to my best friend, Jeff. We've been married for 32 years, and I have 5 children. 2 are now adults, and 3 I am currently schooling at home. And I am very, very blessed to have a very supportive family, and it really shows because they are the reason that I continue to do what I do, because they are so encouraging. I want to just tell you a little bit about this business that I run, because it ties into the story that I'm going to share with you. I began homeschooling and found that there were a lack of creation study guides that I could use with the tons of books that I had purchased that were curriculum-based or just regular books to to counteract evolutionary claims. So they were creation books as well as some other science books that I had on hand. And I really wanted something that would help me to organize all of these resources that I had and be able to teach using a unit study approach. So not finding anything, I was able to convince Jill Whitlock, who was a friend of mine and a creation scientist and homeschool mom, to join forces with me and to write this series. So we started with the first one, Creation Science, A Study Guide to Creation. And then the next one we wrote was Creation Astronomy, then a Creation Anatomy, and the last one was Creation Geology. Jill was an oil and well geologist, and she went to be before the Lord in 2007 is when she died. So I really, really miss her, and one of the things that I did after she died was dedicate any other sessions that we did to her and her memory, because if it wasn't for Jill, I wouldn't have written the series. They've been selected in, with Kathy Duffy's top 100 and now 101 picks, so we've been very blessed, and we have 4 study guides and 4 activity packs as well as Teaching Science and Having Fun, which was, again, a book that I decided was useful to me anyway, and then I went on to publish it. Was actually the first book I wrote for publication that was able to organize all the materials I had on hand and help parents to organize their science and to teach their children at home. And having written this curriculum, my children grew up with a good understanding of the differences between creation and evolution, but I never imagined that I would be under such attack, either with friends, with church, people at church that would, you know, tell me that it was not a Christian thing to write, or the printer who said he couldn't print, you know, such hogwash, or at conferences where people would come up to me and say, you know, I haven't met anyone who's intelligent that believes in creation, and it would just be so confrontational. Even at events, you know, a friend would take great pleasure in introducing me to another one of his friends and say something like, Felice is a world-renowned author and publisher. And, of course, then they'd ask me who I was, and I'd have to say I'm not world-renowned. I own my own publishing company, and I self-publish, you know. And when I told them what I published, again, it was, you know, more attack, and, you know, we would get into what I consider very good discussions. I don't know if the other person considered it a good discussion, but I enjoyed talking about creation and evolution and realizing then that I was happy that I had had the background and the education that I had in this because of the study that Jill and I had done using a lot of materials that she had put together over the years when she studied about it. And Jill was a evolutionist to begin with. She was an atheist that became agnostic, that then became a Christian. And when she was handed a Bible, she looked at it and said, I have a problem here because I disagree with the first sentence, in the beginning God created. And so Jill went on to share her story and her testimony, which was that the Lord took the blinders away, and she made a 10-year study of creation versus evolution before I met her in the late 90s. And so with that information and armed with a creation scientist, we went on to write these books, and I was very delighted that I learned, you know, really at her feet. I know John 8:32 is one of those scriptures that I hold close, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I know there's a lot of different, translations of that. But, you know, it really is. The truth is freeing and will set you free, which was why we named our series the Truth Seekers Mystery Series. And I wrote these books with my daughter, Christina, who was then a homeschooled child. She's one of my now grown adults that has left home and has started a family of her own and is currently homeschooling my grandchildren, which is a real blessing to me. When we wrote this series, it was no accident that we picked the Truth Seekers as what the kids in the story were going to be looking for, and they are creation-based novels. And so when we wrote the first one, The Missing Link Found, it was based on an evolutionary premise that fossils will prove that that evolution is true. That was what Darwin said, that the fossil record would prove evolution, and it still has not. And the second book, Dinosaur Quest at Diamond Peak, dealt with a dinosaur dig in Colorado where the kids are up against a evolutionist who is heading up this dinosaur excavation. And then the third, Keys to the Past Unlocked, deals with an excavation that is takes place, obviously, in the Keys, Key West, and the kids are part of this. And so in our novels, we dealt with some really good scientific fact, and the children in the novels had to dispute evolutionists. And so they took a lot of time to write, and not only that, there was a lot of edits involved, being that I'm the publisher. So because I wanted these to be, very accurate, we sent them to at least three scientists, read each one of these books when they were in their draft form, and then we gave them to no less than 20 or 30 families who then read them within their families. Kids read them, parents read them to their children, and then they would give us back the manuscripts all printed out and marked up, and so we would put all the edits in. So as you can imagine, it was a big undertaking, and when book three came out, we had pre-sold that book at a conference, and so I was under a pressure cooker, if you will, to get that book out to press. And so it was the holidays, and I was very busy with family things, trying to get our homeschooling closed out for the holidays, because we take about 2 or 3 weeks off, if not more, in December, and then also getting the rest of these edits put in. And then every time I read the book, I would find a mistake. You know, it could be a little mistake, but then you're thinking, well, there could be more. And finally, my daughter, I think, took the book out of my hand and sent it to the printer, said it's ready to go. And, you need to stop somewhere. But I remember it just being this ordeal to try to get this book to print, and people were waiting, and they wanted it before Christmas, so it really needed to get going. And I remember lamenting to the Lord, and I tend to do that. You know, I don't mean to be melodramatic, and I'm not, an alarmist. I don't normally cry at things, and, I can be pretty stoic. My husband, I would tell him, he had four sisters, and so they always cried instead of everything. And so, when I would cry early on in our marriage, he would tell me that he would be happy to talk to me about anything, but he couldn't when I was crying. So, I would tease him and say, that really cured me of crying early on, because, it was not something that was I wasn't going to get my way with it for sure. But the thing is, in telling you this, I just want you to know that I'm not normally a drama queen and, lament over everything. But let me tell you, at this point, I was ready to be done with the book. And I think another author listening to this would understand totally what I mean. But it being the holidays and everything else, I really cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I must be mistaken. I know that I'm having such a hard time with this book. I can't seem to get it to where it needs to be so I can go to print. I don't want to send something off that has a lot of mistakes. And understand, at this point, every one of our novels and all of our books have had professional editing. And I'm not talking about, somebody I know who's an English teacher or even a college professor. I'm talking about somebody that we hired to edit the book. So, it had a good edit, and, there were just little things that slipped by, and anybody, I'm sure you've picked up a book and found typos. But the end of the story was that I felt that it was not my call or my mission to share about creation. And now, as I'm sharing this with you, I can really see that it was the enemy that was wanting me to believe that. But at the time, I was upset, and I was saying to the Lord, look, I'm not a scientist, I'm an educator, I must have taken a you know, you wanted me to turn right and I turn left and, you know, I'm mistaken and I want out, you know, find somebody else because I can't, you know, be the person doing this. And so I had gone shopping, at a local warehouse, earlier that week, and I had found a nativity scene that I liked, but I had not purchased. And I love, decorating my home, at Christmas time with, you know, beautiful decorations. And I especially love the one nativity scene I have. And I know I did not need another one, but I, went home and, you know, was a good girl and asked my husband if he thought it would be a wise purchase. And he encouraged me to get it. So I was going back that next, weekend to get it. And my nephew asked if he could go with me. And I don't mean to drag out the story, but it's very pivotal because my nephew, who also was homeschooled, he's the same age as my oldest son, and his mom and I homeschooled. He and his sister and my son and daughter were the same age, and we did a lot of things together. They lived in Fort Lauderdale, and we would get together lots of times to do a lot of projects over the weekend and had fabulous time. Well, he grew up and moved to Fort Myers and worked with my husband. At that time, they were working together. And so my nephew had asked if he could meet me there with his wife. And I said, sure, you know, that would be fine. And so they met us there. And when they did, I took him to show him the nativity set. And one of my children was with me. And I believe it was Nicholas. And so I showed, you know, George and Holly the set. And I said, look, what do you think? And then I gasped because I saw this calling card on the shepherd's shoulder. And I started, you know, to I guess, rant is what he said. But I just said, oh, my gosh, what is that doing there? And I cannot believe somebody would put that on a nativity set. You know, why would they do it? Nobody's going to buy it. And to set the scene, the nativity set was very large and it was encased in glass, but the top of it did not have glass. So the glass was around the side so people couldn't touch it. But obviously someone had reached over this nativity set and had slipped this card on the shoulder of the shepherd. And it said, all I could read was, God is the asylum of the ignorant. And it just brought tears to my eyes. I couldn't believe it was there. And my nephew said, you know, Aunt Felice, are you kidding me? That it doesn't belong there. And he reached in and he, you know, pulled it out and handed it to me. And I was just shocked. And so he said, you know, do you want a set? And I said, you know, yes, I do. And he picked one up and put it in the cart. And then he gently took his wife by the hand. And he said, I think she's going to be here a while. Let's go. And the reason I share that he was with me was because I would never have stuck my hand in that set to pull this out and to look at it. But he handed it to me, and I knew that it was an answer to my prayer, because when I opened it, I wanted to see who the author was, you know, whose calling card this was. It obviously had to have a phone number or an address or a website, and I was going to write to this person and tell them, you know, that they shouldn't be doing things like that. Well, when I opened it up, I was shocked. You know, because I knew someone had taken the time to put a very expensive card there, to print it out. He had every intention of slamming Christianity. And when I opened it, I found out why. Because at the very bottom of this calling card, there was nothing else. There was no website. There was no signature. There was a picture of what is called the Darwinian evolutionary fish. And it is a mockery of the Jesus fish, because you can see the words Darwin are here. If you're looking at the slides, if you're listening to this, there are slides that go with it. But there is you know, feed on this creature, you know, that he the fish evolved and walked out of the sea, because that is one of the premises of evolution, that you know, things evolve and become more complex, which is in direct contrast to what science laws teach. However, seeing this there, it really showed me that this card was meant for me, and it was an example of what happens when people are devoid of God. And so to show those of you that may not be familiar with the symbol for Jesus, I don't think much of you, many of you listening to this are not, but if you're a younger child and you're listening to this with your mom and dad, You know, the Jesus fish was used as a symbol in early Christian times. It was actually, there's a great history behind it, and I'm just going to touch on a little bit. It's known as the ithacus, and it's a Greek word for fish. And it was used as a symbol that people who were trying to escape persecution would look for this fish, and they would know that the symbol, and they would know that it was a safe haven. And in the Bible, Jesus uses analogies to teach us greater truth. And he, you know, used fishermen as our, examples, as our the disciples that followed him and his word. And there are so many different things he used with the sea and analogies and so forth. And you know, the loaves and the fishes and so many things. So anyway, it made sense that the fish would be the symbol of Christianity. And so, you know, it is known as the sign of the fish or the Jesus fish. And so when I was looking this up for this presentation, and I thought, you know, it seemed like I was overreacting with being so upset, and also upset that I wasn't getting the book done, because a lot of time has gone by now. And sometimes we wonder, you know, gosh, that was silly. Why was I so upset? But when I was looking for the ithacus, so I could give you, you know, more of a precise information about what it means, and I thought it was the Greek, but I wanted to make sure. Look at what I found in the search. There is, on the first line, when I searched for the Jesus fish or ithacus, I had both of those down in parentheses. The first line says a link, and it has Emblems Online Ordering with Live Telephone. And then there was dot, 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 Evolve Fish. And it says, can't stomach all those Jesus fish driving around town? Now you can take the bite out of them. The new car emblem has a lot more protein, and then it goes on. And it's if you haven't seen the symbol, I don't have a picture of it on the slides, but it is of the Darwinian evolutionary fish eating the Jesus fish. But, you know, how silly is that? But, again, was I overreacting? Obviously not. Somebody else has taken great time in creating this website and selling these little, you know, anti-Christian fish, and it's still going on today. You know, it took me a year to write a document that's called Creation Matters. One of the reasons it took so long was I was so upset by the writing on this card. I have to tell you, it really impacted me. It was as if somebody had just pierced my heart, that somebody could say these horrible things about my God. And I didn't even read the inside of it right away. I stuck it with a magnet on my refrigerator when I got home. And it definitely stayed there for quite some time, and was a big discussion within our home. My son obviously filled everyone in when we got home about the action happening at the warehouse where I'd found this this card, because I told him I felt like Jesus had left this note for me. And I shared with him, you know, why I was so surprised that, you know, it had the Darwin fish on there, because I had just been praying to God, you know, is this something I should be doing? And I felt like this was an answer, because this is what happens when you're devoid of God. So it took me a long time to get it concise. Obviously didn't put that big, long story that I shared with you in this document. And I put it on my website. So if you want a copy of it, if you're listening to this and you're not in the membership site, or someone has loaned you this audio, because I really have urged people to put it out there and to share it with other people, you can get a copy of Creation Matters, and that is on my website, mediaangels.com. If you go to free downloads, it's one of the PDF files you can print out and share. And so I wrote this with scanned copies of the card as part of it, so that you would see, you know, how horrible it is for people who really are devoid of God. So I wanted to take the rest of the time and very briefly go over the four men that were highlighted in this card, that this gentleman thought so much to have this linen card created, you know, four-sided linen card that folds in half, that wasn't cheap to create. And this was many years ago, okay? This was in the late 90s, early 2000s. And so, you know, it wasn't so easy and cheap to get 100 cards made or 100 cards for free. I mean, this man put some money, or this lady put some money into this linen card and was taking it around and putting it places. So with the first person on here, on the front of this, it said, God is the asylum of the ignorant. And the quote was given to Spinoza. And I wanted to go over who he was. He was born to a Jewish family in Amsterdam in the, you know, early 1600s, 1632. He actually resisted the Jewish Orthodox faith and was excommunicated for heresy. And he changed his name to Spinoza. Well, Christians didn't think much of him because obviously they weren't really happy with his anti-God stance. But the Orthodox Jews accused him of atheism, and he was very, very unpopular and very, very unpopular. And back then, you could have your works denounced, and not only that, they would ban your books. And so his works had been denounced and banned. And, you know, he wrote so many things that were against God, and he thought that the nature of the mind, emotions, intellect, reason, and will were all that there was. And that is really the reoccurring theme of a lot of these men. They really think that to be an intellect, you must be devoid of God, because to be, you know, a Christian means to rely upon God, and that was a show of weakness. So it really didn't make any sense in the, you know, in the truth of the matter as we know it. And so, you know, this man spent his time, you know, researching and writing along those lines. And so this quote was pulled out by the gentleman who left the calling card on the shepherd. The second quote on the card was, religion began when the first knave met the first fool. And it was attributed to Voltaire. Now, Voltaire, many of you have, you know, probably heard. I took a lot of French in college, as well as studies of literature, and so, and I took philosophy, so I was very well versed in Voltaire and knew already about his, you know, pretty much atheistic stance. He was a philosopher, a French writer, and historian who lived a little bit later than Spinoza, 1694 to around, you know, the middle of the late 70s, 1778. And his you know, pen name was Voltaire. His real name was Francois. But anyway, he was part of the French Enlightenment and, you know, really on the front edge of that. And he was known for his wit and so forth, but he was really known for his attacks against the church, the Catholic Church. And he was an advocacy of freedom of religion, freedom of expression, and separation of church and state. Where have we heard that before? Voltaire wrote prolifically, and you can study more about his works, but he used his writing to criticize what he considered intolerance, religious dogma, and the French institution of the day. And again, you know, intellect devoid of God to me is pretty foolish, but for him, it was utter foolishness. And so he spent his life work doing that. The inside of the card had two more men, Bertrand Russell and Mikhail Bakun. And I'm not going to go into the whole reading of what their quotes were. They're quite extensive, and they are in the handout that's included with this talk, or you can get it on that Creation Matters handout on my website at mediaangels.com. But I want to go into a little bit about Bertrand Russell, who was a philosopher. And, you know, when I look at his life and what he did do some amazing things in the world of mathematics and logic and set theory and linguistics and computer science and things like that. And he was an activist. He was very much anti-war. He also was awarded a Nobel Prize in Literature. But he was considered a champion of humanitarians. But let me read you what his card said. There is something feeble and a little contemptible about a man who cannot face the perils of life without the help of comfortable myths. And he ended his quote with, "Most people whose intelligence is much above average are nowadays openly or secretly agnostic." And the thing about agnosticism is, you know, there's this, I don't really care if there is a God, because if there is, it doesn't apply to me. And so it is, you know, to me, amazing that this man of such intellect took that road. And, you know, he really flip-flopped a lot in his life. You know, he at one point was, you know, a socialist, then he was a liberal, then he was a pacifist. So he, you know, went through life changing as there was a whim. And so obviously the person who left the calling card thought enough of his quote to put him on the card as well. And then there's Mikhail Bakunin, and he was a revolutionary philosopher. He has been called the father of the Antichrist theory, and so that is something I'll leave up to you to really look into. But it offers it doesn't offer a fixed body of doctrine from a particular worldview, but it fluxes and flows with philosophy. And, you know, philosophers have an interesting way of looking at the world. And, you know, having taken philosophy and studied it, I know that it's not how I tend to think. And so, you know, for me, I see, you know, just, you know, a lot of disagreement from where I'm coming from, you know, like, if that, you know, especially when you look at sentences like, you know, everything that exists is rational, you know, to me that's irrational. But I'm not going to get into him a lot other than to say that, you know, he was selected for his quote, which I'm going to read again, the very beginning and then the end. And that is, "The idea of good implies the abdication of human reason and justice." That was what he began with. And then I want to end his quote here with, "He who desires to worship a God must harbor no childish illusions about the matter, but bravely renounce his liberty and his humanity." And he lived from 1814 to 76. So again, he was one of these early philosophers. So can you see that these men were selected because of their anti-Christian stance, and the fact that their anti-Christian stance led the gentleman who put this card together to take a Darwinian evolutionary stance? And so, you know, I may never know who this gentleman was, but I do know that there are many like him that will go to great lengths to do things. And even today, there was an entire thing that maybe you have missed, but I don't miss a lot of these things that happen because I'm pretty connected to the world of creation science and a lot of scientists and so forth. And there was a big bust campaign by Richard Dawkins, who is probably what I would consider one of the premier evolutionists and anti-Christians in the world. And he ran, he helped fund this ridiculously expensive bus campaign. But when I looked at this thing on the side of the bus, I just shook my head, and maybe you will too. And this is what it said: "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." And this is written in typical agnostic style. You know, atheists and agnosticism are two things that you, I'm not going to go into them right now, but you would look into. But this is, you know, an agnostic will say there's probably no God because you cannot prove definitively that there is a God or not, and it takes faith to believe in God. But, you know, it didn't say there is no God definitively. It said there is probably no God. And why would somebody put this on the bus? It's as if to say, you know, we're losing ground here because there's a lot more creationists out there and people are getting educated. And now with the internet, they can get all this information that previously, you know, we left to academia. And academia, fuels all the media, and we can keep saying, you know, well, of course everybody knows the dinosaurs roamed the earth millions of years ago, and of course we know this, and of course evolution teaches, like, of course if you don't know this, then you are an idiot. And so they're so concerned that now they're taking out, you know, huge ad campaigns to tell people that there's probably no God. And the fact that people that have a God are worrying and you can go enjoy your life, this tells you in a nutshell exactly what the problem is. And the problem is that there is a missing element here. And the missing element is to understand God is love. And with love, there is peace and there is joy. So does creation matter? I really think it does. And so when I found out about that bus campaign, I ran a bumper sticker contest with all the kids. I was teaching a lot of creation classes, and I've got those recorded on my website for you to take a look at. But at the time, we were teaching a creation class, and so I hosted a bumper sticker contest with this, a prize with a cash award and some other things. And so this was the winning selection, and it was forget the bus, take the highway. And there's a picture of a bus with a cross through it, like the no sign. And after the word highway is an emblem that represents the Jesus fish. And so we had that on cafepress.com/mediaangels for anyone who wanted to purchase a bumper sticker. And so, you know, just as a reminder, again, that we can be used by God, however little a way that is. And that's the point of this thing. You know, does creation matter? The whole point of this talk is, you know, sharing with you my testimony of how, you know, one small little prayer to God was answered in this remarkable way. And yes, we did go on to get the novel published, and you know, it's in its third printing, all the novels are. And we were able to rejoice with God and be victorious, you know, over the enemy and over, you know, thoughts that, you know, I was not the one selected, that God did choose me and my daughter to write these, and we did, and we said yes to God. So how will God use you? And that's my challenge to you today. Will he use you in any way to share his message with others? It might not be in the realm of creation science, but then it might be. Is he seeking you to do his will? And I urge you, if he does, do it because he asks, and he will provide. He's provided for me in so many ways. And this is one, you know, small story of many, many I could share with you on writing the study guides and the novels that have happened in our lives. And the biggest thing I can urge you today is to become educated. Become educated in the differences between creation and evolution. You know, yes, I do teach my children about evolution. Why? Because they need to understand, you know, what the science is behind creation that points to a creator God. And where there are not answers and we don't know, we say we don't know. But then again, evolutionists don't know many things either. And so I want to leave you with that thought, you know, to pray, to seek God, and to get good counsel and prayer and discernment from, you know, people you know and love and trust, you know, your pastor, your church community, when you want to make a decision. And remember, you'll have peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, if that is what the Lord wants you to do. Well, I invite you to join us at our website at mediaangels.com. The Truth Seekers Mystery Series also has accompanying literature guides that you will enjoy. This is a great way to immerse yourself and to become educated on the differences between creation and evolution. And I hope in this recording that I've been able to share just a small way that creation does matter. And I ask God to bless you and your families and to persevere in our walk with him.
Thanks so much for listening to the Creation Science Podcast. You can find the show notes at creationsciencepodcast.com. And as always, reach out to me, Felice Gerwitz, at felice@mediaangels.com. Take care, God bless, and I hope you enjoy teaching your children and learning about the beautiful world that God created. please share this broadcast with a friend, and thanks so much. This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or any of your favorite podcast apps. Look for the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show to keep up to date with all our wonderful podcasts. For a special subscriber printable pack, as well as all our timely freebies, join our email list on theultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com.